Thank you very much. Good morning. On this wit last day of the American Public Health Association conference, so I'm really happy to be here. I'm with an organization called the Bay Area Regional Health Inequities Initiative, and our acronym is BARHI, so I'll be using that throughout the presentation. And before I begin, I do want to acknowledge my colleague Sandy Galvez, who is here in the audience. We're both senior associates with BARHI, and I'm happy to take any questions after the session is over. I also want to acknowledge two of our committee members, Joe, who was the previous speaker, and Cio Hernandez, who is the co-chair for our community committee. So it's nice to have them in the audience. First things first, I have no relationships to disclose. And during the presentation, I'd like to give you an overview of BARHI, discuss our regional approach to addressing health inequities, and give you a brief introduction to some of our tools and publications. BARHI is an organization that's made up of the 11 health departments in the greater San Francisco Bay Area. In the 90s, a group of public health officials came together to sort of think about what are some of the issues that occur on a regional basis and that we can address on a regional basis. And so some of those areas that already were taking place on the regional level were things like air and water quality, transportation, housing, and such. And so also looking at the communities in the Bay Area, it became clear that the health outcomes of the specific communities were consistently experiencing health inequities based on social determinants of health. So for this reason, this organization was formed, and you can see the various counties that participate in BARHI. We cover a wide geographic area, very diverse population, mostly urbanized population, and about 7.5 million people. Okay. This is our mission, which is to transform public health practice for the purpose of eliminating health inequities using a broad spectrum of approaches that create healthy communities. The part that I think is really important to take away during this presentation is the transformation of public health practice, which I will get to in just a couple minutes. Our organizational approach is really through a social justice lens as our core value. We build alliances with institutions that influence community health, inform policymakers and the general public about the underlying social issues and causes of health inequities, and build the capacity of our workforce and agencies. So just a couple seconds on why we talk about health inequities versus health disparities. Health disparities is the difference in health status between two groups, and it really emphasizes the differences but doesn't consider necessarily the relationship to the underlying patterns of social inequities. And as mentioned on the slide, this is a term that's exclusively used in the United States. Most around the world, globally, the term health inequities is used. And this is a term that means that there are differences in health status and mortality rates across population groups that are systemic, avoidable, unfair, and unjust. And these are differences that are sustained over time and generations and often beyond the control of individuals. And they follow larger patterns of inequality that exist in our societies. So I'm going to go through the BARHI structure, and these are examples of our committees, and I'll go through each of the committees to tell you a little bit about what each of them do. The first row that you see here are our active committees as of now, and the two on the bottom are sort of where BARHI is moving in its work. So the first committee is that I'll go over is the Internal Capacity Committee, and this committee is charged with identifying the professional development and systems changes necessary to transform public health practice from within. So thinking about the current workforce, skills and abilities that the workforce and our agencies require to actually address health inequities. These are the two key questions that this group explored, which are, as I said, what are the skills and abilities needed by public health department staff, and what are the characteristics of the public health department in order to effectively address health inequities? This then led to the development of the internal self-assessment toolkit, which is just hot off the press. It is a piece that we have, Sandy is actually passing around a copy of that. And the toolkit provides public health leaders with tools and guidelines that help identify the skills, organizational practices, and infrastructure needed to address health equity. I am not going to go into many of the details around the self-assessment toolkit because there is a session at 10:30 following this one during which Sandy is going to go into the nitty-gritty of this toolkit. But enough to say that this was a multi-year process. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into this, and we're really proud to have this available at this conference. Okay. I'm going to move on to talk about the conceptual framework by which Barhai is organized and gives structure to a lot of our work. And there are copies of the conceptual framework in the back. I'm going to go through sort of a simplified version on these slides. So the current structure of public health, or where we think public health currently is identifying risk behaviors that lead to disease and injury that then lead to mortality or life expectancy. However, if we think about what the actual causes of death are, and this is from San Mateo County, 50% of actual deaths are due to things that we know about, like tobacco and diet and nutrition, alcohol use, that sort of thing. But 50%, a whopping 50%, are due to other causes that we have not yet identified. So our question is really, what is it? What are these other causes? So we go back to our conceptual framework and we think about what are the conditions around which people live, work, learn, play, eat, that sort of thing. What are those things around us? And they are things like the physical environment, the social environment, service, and social environment, which are listed on the framework that Sandy's passing out, and things like housing segregation, residential segregation. So this moves us on to our next committee, which is the Data Committee, which produced this report, which is the Health Inequities in the Bay Area, that really contributed an understanding of the significant role that the physical and social environment plays in shaping our health, and offered some policies and initiatives and activities to help address these differences among our population groups. This is an example of one of the graphs that was presented in this report. And again, we have one copy that's being passed around. There are a couple more copies at our booth upstairs in the exhibit hall, and it's available online as well. This graph shows the social gradient that exists in the Bay Area, where we have differences by neighborhood population and life expectancies. And as you can see on the graph, African Americans have the lowest life expectancy in general, and that is the yellow line. The gray line shows that whites have a lower life expectancy in the highest poverty areas. However, fewer than 0.5% of whites actually live in those areas. And Asians and Latinos have overall longer life expectancies, and they are less likely in general to show the effects of poverty. And this we attribute to the immigration paradox in terms of the first generation of folks that come to the United States, and over generations, this, of course, decreases. I'm going to skip that. So these are some things that are, if we think about what are the societal structures that affect neighborhood conditions. And many people would look at this list and say, well, these have nothing to do with health. But in fact, this is exactly what Barhai is doing, which is to change public health practice and to say essentially that all of these policies are health policies. So this brings us to the next box on our conceptual framework around institutional power, which are those structures that exist within society that lead to the neighborhood conditions and living conditions. So these are things like institutions like schools, corporations and businesses, government agencies that really shape our environments. And this is an example of, let me just expand this for you, a housing policy that is from the Federal Housing Administration Underwriting Manual of 1938. I won't read this right off the slide, but as you can see, this is an abominable housing strategy or housing policy that really separated race ethnicities in terms of where people live in society. And you know, and this is an example of a policy that actually existed in the United States. And so we find neighborhoods like this, for example. This is Oakland, California, and this is a neighborhood in downtown Oakland where you can see things like, you know, liquor stores with fences, trash on the streets. There's abandoned homes in the neighborhoods. And then contrast that to neighborhoods like this where you have pretty houses, big houses, open green spaces, walkable, bikeable paths, that sort of thing. And then we can show data like this, which shows the life expectancy in Oakland. And the first set of pictures that I showed you was the Oakland Flats. And the second set of pictures I showed you was the Oakland Hills. And so looking at this graph, you can see that there's over a 10-year life expectancy difference between African Americans and whites. And, you know, that's just unacceptable to us, and we need to know a little bit more about why that happens. In our report, the Health Inequities Report, we have more examples of contrasts within neighborhoods that you can look at. So moving into the work of the built environment, which really takes those differences in life expectancies in neighborhoods to bear. The Built Environment Committee is put together to understand really the lay of the land in planning and in developing our physical environment. So things like land use, transportation, redevelopment, air quality, things like that. And the first thing that we had to do was to really understand the language of planners. While public health and land use at one time, or planning, I should say, at one time were one and the same, there's been sort of a split over the years. And so it's really on us to, has been on us to learn the language. And so we put together this product, which is the Healthy Planning Guide. And this takes issues of health, such as alcohol and tobacco use, and connects the negative outcomes with the built environment correlate, and then takes it steps further, which is to say, what are the policy recommendations around these issues, and then what are some specific steps for public health to take? And so this has really been a useful tool for public health folks and land use planning folks to really start the conversations and develop the relationships. And we've been pretty successful in the Bay Area with this. And you know, many of our local health departments are involved in built environment work. The next step to this was to develop this publication, which is called the Partners in Public Health. And this is really a publication that gives a broad overview of the many, 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 many public agencies that make the policy decisions that affect the environments that we live in. It outlines the structure of the decision-making processes from the local, regional, state, and federal level. So all that you can think of around the physical environment, you know, from housing issues to air quality to water, public utilities, and really breaks down how the system works, how decisions are made, and makes it offers opportunities for engagement for health folks. Moving on to our fourth committee is the Community Committee. And I don't want to minimize at all what the Community Committee is about, because essentially the community is the backbone of the work that we do, are the ones that, you know, are experiencing the disparities and the health inequities that we talk about. And this committee is tasked with understanding and expanding the local health department work with communities on health equity issues as defined by the community. So we're engaging in a strategic process by which we are going around to our local health departments in the Bay Area region to really understand the relationship between communities and health departments, how they work together, challenges, strategies, and what can be done better in the area of health equity. How much time do I have? 3 minutes. Okay. So this is a little bit of the work of the community work group. And this is an example of how this works in practice. And this is from the Marin County Health Department, which CO is a part of. And this sort of shows you the framework in action, if you will, how we move from the very right side of the model, which is based on health outcomes, where we basically educate adults about certain health conditions and issues, to moving to more around risk factors, educating adults about reducing their risk. So it's really like that one-on-one sort of case management care, to then moving to community factors, where you work with large organizations to implement, for example, healthy work environments, and then moving into the policies, where you partner with action teams to develop and fund, create policies that improve access to foods and reduce food costs, and you know, have things like healthy vending machines, less liquor stores versus grocery stores, that sort of thing, work on policies. So this gives you sort of an example of how this works in practice. However, we realize that there is an underlying step that comes before before where we currently work. And so what I've talked to you so far about is the work that we currently do in Barhi, which is mostly focused on the institutional power and the neighborhood conditions box. But we are now moving to a place where we want to understand more of those underlying forces, those root issues that we call social inequities that lead to everything on the right side of the box. So these are things like race issues, ethnicity, class, gender issues, immigration status, disability status, and such. So it is on us at this moment in time where we're challenging our local health departments to really think about more about the social determinants of health and what that means in practice, and specifically working on structural racism and, I didn't write this up here, but recently our group has decided to also look at classism as structures that lead to health inequities. So these are things that, you know, we have institutional policies around within our own health departments, and then also how it plays out, you know, within our communities and within society. So that gives you a big overview of Barhi. We're happy to take questions after the session. And again, our products and publications are available online at our website, which I failed to put up here, which is www.barhi, which is barhi.org. And we have a few copies at the Public Health Institute booth upstairs. Thank you very much.